The gospel lesson is from the 19th chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We ask this in the strong name of Christ. Amen. Today's gospel story is a sort of parade story, where short little Zacchaeus couldn't see past all the people in the crowd. The story occurs perhaps a few days before our Lord's last and triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Earlier on this final journey, Jesus had told his disciples about the Father's will for him, but they did not truly understand. Luke 18:31. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. And after they have flogged him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." But they didn't understand, they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. But now, Jesus is walking through Jericho. Jericho's about 18 to 20 miles east-northeast of Jerusalem. He is on the way up to Jerusalem, up because Jericho is about a half a mile lower in elevation than is the city of David. As we have noted, Jesus is well aware of what awaits him in Jerusalem: his Roman crucifixion, his agonizing death, his bodily resurrection after 3 days, and his ultimate glorious ascension to the Father's right hand. But today, Jesus has a particular task. In the crowd along the road is a man named Zacchaeus. The name Zacchaeus is derived from the Hebrew name Zaki, meaning pure or innocent. But in the minds of many, perhaps most of his fellow Jews, he has been misnamed. You see, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, a very rich tax collector, a chief tax collector. Jewish tax collectors like him are scorned by their countrymen for a couple of reasons. One, They're known for cheating on the taxpayers. And two, they work for the Roman Empire. The other Jews see Jewish tax collectors as collaborators with the enemy, traitors to their own people. But Zacchaeus needs to see Jesus. Because he is too short to see over the people blocking his view, Zacchaeus scrambles on ahead of the passing entourage, finds a tree close to the road and large enough for him to crawl out upon, and waits for Jesus to come into view. He is clearly excited to observe the one around whom so much uproar is swirling. But is he expecting anything like what happens next? Luke tells us in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Jesus comes to the spot above which Zacchaeus is perched, stops short, looks up and sees the little man. One is reminded of another encounter earlier in Luke when Jesus stopped short. The woman who touched the hem of his garment to be healed. Both stories are about people who are ostracized from society. The woman by her infirmity, Zacchaeus by his occupation. Both make a special effort to be close to Jesus. The woman by touching his clothing, Zacchaeus by climbing a tree. A big difference between the woman's story and this one is that the woman trusted that to touch the Lord's garment would bring her healing. Zacchaeus had no such trust. That is, until Jesus calls to him. "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Suddenly, Zacchaeus the observer becomes the observed. But more than that, he is seen. He is known. Jesus calls him by name. Zacchaeus makes the decision. He scrambles down to stand in front of Jesus and happily welcomes him. The crowd seem unaware that redemption is happening right before their eyes. What they see is a somewhat well-known preacher accepting hospitality from a sinner. They do not like it. What to do? Zacchaeus makes another decision, revealing his changed heart. In verse 8, he makes two commitments to Jesus. First, half of all his possessions will go to the poor. Second, if he has defrauded anyone, he will repay that person fourfold. Why pay back four times the original theft? It appears that Zacchaeus knew Mosaic law. Exodus 22:1. When someone steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, the thief shall pay five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. The thief shall make restitution, but if unable to do so, shall be sold for the theft. The Jerusalem Bible footnote for verse 8 says that the fourfold restitution was imposed by Jewish law for one case only, a convicted thief. Zacchaeus, the unconvicted thief, will repay this for all his past injustices. You see, Zacchaeus knows now that he has met the Messiah of God. He repents his past greed and commits his life to Jesus. And our Lord welcomes Zacchaeus, proclaiming, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Luke makes no mention of how the crowd reacts to this declaration, but I believe it probably caused some to begin their own journeys to generosity. Zacchaeus is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. According to tradition, after his conversion, Zacchaeus later accompanied the Apostle Peter on some of his journeys. He was appointed by Peter as the first bishop of Caesarea in Palestine, where he died peacefully. Our Eastern Orthodox brethren observe Zacchaeus' feast day in the spring of each year. This Zacchaeus redemption story is, along with the woman at the well, the man blind from birth, and Paul's Damascus Road confrontation, they are what I call salvation decision stories. The focal point of each of these, I think, is a moment when each person decides to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and begins the walk to perfect sainthood. Yesterday morning, as I was preparing the final part of this message, I remembered suddenly that today is All Saints' Day, the first Sunday after All Hallows Eve. Saints' Days began, according to the Book of Common Worship, as a way of to mark the anniversaries of the deaths of martyrs, their birthdays as saints through the completion of their baptism. By the middle of the church's first millennium, there were so many martyrs that it was hard to give them all their due. All Saints' Day was established as an opportunity to honor all the saints, remembered and forgotten, known and unknown. It has been celebrated on or around November 1st, since the 9th century. In the Reformed tradition, the emphasis on this festival is on the ongoing sanctification of the whole people of God. That's you and me. While we may give thanks for the lives of particular luminaries of ages past, we also give glory to God for the ordinary, holy lives of believers of this and every age. This got me to thinking about how much or how little we know about the people in these salvation decision stories I mentioned. Now, we know a fair bit about Paul from Acts and from his own letters. We know much less about Zacchaeus. We don't even know the names of the women at the well or the man born blind. What we do know about these people is their common salvation-inspired generosity. Paul generously shares the gospel across the known world of his time. Zacchaeus shares his material wealth. The unnamed man and woman share their close encounters with our living Lord. You can probably create your own list of biblical salvation decision stories. But now I want you to think a moment about your own personal story. Who are the Christian heroes in your story? Have you always been a believer? Or, like me, have you come late to the party? Do you recall a moment when the Holy Spirit revealed something about yourself to you? Or when you shared the gospel with someone in need? Or brought food to someone? Or read the Bible to someone? Or sat with someone? Or prayed with someone? Like individuals, institutions have stories too. Our institution, Rock Lake Presbyterian Church, celebrated 75 years of history in October of 2024. The First Presbyterian Church, South Charleston, decided to found this church in the late 1940s. Think what it must have been like for the original members of that church, of our church. Did they construct the first sanctuary themselves? What was it like to gather for the first Rock Lake Presbyterian Church worship in 1949? This sanctuary that you're worshiping in today was constructed in 1959. The Rock Lake Community Life Center across Lincoln Drive, we purchased in 2008. Other details about our campus are available on the church website, rlpc.org. Behind all this activity were saints, known and unknown, remembered and forgotten. A few have been remembered, most have been lost to us, but not to our Creator. He knows our forgotten forebears and their gift passed down to us. Their generous gift is not the buildings, but what the buildings empower us to do. Carry the life-giving gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a needy community around us. With the Holy Spirit's help, we do this in word, deed, and music. We do this with donations of time, talent, and yes, even money. Your generosity, in whatever form it takes, is only a reflection of God's original generosity, expressed in Jesus Christ's submission to the Father's will. Jesus is the once for all time perfect sacrificial redemption for every human being, past, present, and future. He is the focal point of human history, the Messiah to whom the Old Testament pointed, and the Messiah confirmed in the New Testament. Jesus made his once for all time sacrifice so that sinners like me and like you might be made right with God. Thank God for that. Amen.